Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur three lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Vav Amud Beis. We gave a brief introduction to our shiur last time, the tail end of our previous shiur. The topic heading that you can see on the side is Hefshed V'Nituach Kshayrin Bazar. We will see a comment made in a Tanaic source that Hefshed, the skinning, Nituach, and the dismembering of the korban can be done by a non-kohen. Azara is a non-kohen. Even though we know that for most of the sacrificial activities, starting with Kabbalah Sadam, on through the Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, and the Haktorah, the offering of the limbs on the Mizbeach, there kohanim are required. However, Shechita, for example, is kosher bazar, can be done, the shechita, the slaughtering, can be done by a non-kohen. And we're seeing here the skinning and the dismembering of the sacrifice can be done by a non-kohen. When we speak about the dismembering, by the way, we're speaking in the context of a korban olah, an olah sacrifice, which is offered on the mizbeach in its entirety. None of it is eaten. However, when it's offered, it's not placed on the fire as a complete animal, but rather it's dismembered, as we have learned in the previous Mishnayos. We advise to take a look at the psukim in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Aleph, psukim Aleph through Yud Gimel, which deal with the korban olah, whether it be a cow, a bokor from the bovine creatures, or it be from tzon. Tzon includes sheep and goats. So the psukim in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Yud Gimel deal with a korban olah from bokor and from one who brings it from bokor or from tzon. We open up the Gemara with a Tanaic source, three lines from the bottom of Chof Vav Amud Beis Tana, Hefsheton V'Nituchon Shovin Bazar. The Hefshet Nituch regarding the different kinds of animals, we have a keves, an ayol, a par, are kosher, are done equally by a zar as by a kohen. In other words, here we allow a non-kohen to be involved with it. And when we speak about Hefshet V'Nituach, we say Shovin, whether it be a private korban or a public korban, a zar can do it. Omar Chizkiah, Minayin leHefshet V'Nituach sheShove Bazar. From where do we know that a zar is acceptable for Hefshet V'Nituach? Now, we have markings, a diamond, and a double underline. You can see on the side under our Mivneh heading. These are nisyonis lahavi moker l'din dehevshev intuach lo boy kuno. These are attempts. We're going to cite a pasuk. The diamond introduces an attempt to show that it's kosher bazar, and the double underline will be used to highlight the fact that hevshev intuach don't require a kohen. So if you scan down Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, you'll see this marking quite in a repeated fashion. Along the way, triangles will appear, and they represent dechios or kushas. They are rejections of whatever was said or a question that's raised. So let's now see the Gemara. Chizkiah, having asked what is the source for saying that hefshet v'nituach, hefshet skinning, nituach, dismembering, is okay if it's done by a zar, shnemar, the pasuk says, v'nosnu b'nei Aharon ha-koyen eish al ha-mizbeach. The kohanim are the ones to tend to the fire, to place the fire on the altar. Nesina seish by a kuhuna. The placing of the fire requires kuhuna, and we can infer hefshet v'nituach lo by a kuhuna, but skinning and dismembering does not require kohanim. The Gemara at the top of Chof Zayin Amud Aleph rejects this. Hi, miboyle legufei. The pasuk that says v'nosnu be'aron akoyin eishal mizbech is needed for itself. In other words, it's not here for inferring from it something else, hefshet v'nituach, but it's needed for itself to tell me that a kohen is required as opposed to a non-kohen. A kohen is required for setting up the fire. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Ashkachte labai dave misader masber le lebre. Rav Simi says, tells us a story that I met Abaye, who was explaining to his son the following. There was a Tanaic source, and then Abaye, at the end of this Tanaic source, he offers an explanation. Now you notice we have a long marking. There's a tuff, which is a teretz, a long teretz, so that we're using this marking to show that Rav Simi is answering, how do I know that Hefshet V'nituach is kosher bizarre? So how do I know that? Well, I'm going to learn it from the following segment. So Abaye was teaching the following Tanaic source to his son, Veshochat. This is from Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hey. The Pasuk there says, Veshochat has ben aboku lefnei Hashem, V'krivu b'nei Aaron ha-kudim es-adam v'zok es-adam ha-mizbeh soviv asher pesach el-moed. V'shochat, shchita bizar k'shera. The Pasuk is saying that as far as shchita, the slaughtering, is concerned, a non-kohen is okay. V'chi me'ayin bosa, where are you coming from to think that maybe the zar is posel? There must have been some kind of underlying thought that a zar would not be acceptable, necessitating the verse to tell me that he is acceptable. So the Gemara explains, Michlal shenemar ve'atov onecho itcho tishmu as kunaschem l'chol dvar mizbeach. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Yudches, addressing Aaron, the original Kohen. Let's say you and your descendants must care for all Kohen matters as they apply to all matters of the altar. Well, shomei ani afilu shchita. I would think that maybe kohanim as well are required for slaughtering. Talmud lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, v'shochat es ben aboker. Here, this is the pasuk that opened up this source just a few lines, four lines up. V'shochat es ben aboker lefnei Hashem, v'krivu b'nei Aaron u'kenem esedam. There's a slaughtering of the cow, and then there's Hikrivu b'nei Aaron. B'nei Aaron enters the picture at what point? Hikrivu. Mikabolo v'eilech mitzvas kuna. Hikrivu b'nei Aaron is a reference here to the receipt of the blood. At that point, kahuna, priesthood, is a requirement. But prior to that, priesthood is not necessary. Hence, shchita is kosher bizar. V'somach yodoi v'shochat. You'll notice this is a quote from Pasuk Dalid and Pasuk Hey. In Pasuk Dalid, in Vayikra Perek Alf, it said, V'somach yoda rosh ha'oila, v'nirtza loy l'chat b'lov. There's a placing of the hands. The owner places his hands on the animal's head. And v'shochat es ben habokor, and then slaughters. So this the somach yodo v'shochat limed al hashchita shekshera bizar. Now Abaye comments. Michti mikabola v'eilech mitzvas kahuna. From the receipt of the blood onwards, kahuna is required. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kayen eish. Lomoli. This pasuk is after Kabbalah. Well, I already know that from Kabbalah onwards, from the receipt of the blood onwards, you need to have a kayen. Why, with regard to the placing of the fire, does the pasuk have to spell out that a kohen does that when, in fact, it is something that takes place after Kabbalah? Limutei hefshe v'nituach. So, the role of v'nosnu bnei Aaron is a kohen. V'nosnu bnei Aaron hakohen eish is like we said at the beginning, namely, second line from the bottom of Omid Aleph. We're showing how the reference to Bnei Aaron in that pasuk seems to be extra. So it's there in order for us to make the inference that, as we said earlier, that Bnei Aaron do the Eish al Mizbeach, but they do not do, they're not required to do the Hefshet v'Nituach. The Gemara raises a question. V'akati itzterich. I still need the pasuk for itself. In other words, not for the inference concerning Hefshet v'Nituach. Salka daita chamino, had the pasuk not spelled out v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish, I would have thought kevon delav avoido dema'akva kaporahi, since the placing of the fire is not something that is binding or restricting the atonement a sacrifice offers. What is the action that is binding with regard to atonement? The sprinkling of the blood. The issue of the subsequent burning of the limbs is not something that is binding or restricts the atonement. So since it's an avoda, or it's an action that's not me'akev kapora, maybe lo tevaya kahuna. Maybe it shouldn't require the placing of the fire on the altar. Doesn't require specifically a kohen. Komash malon de boya kahuna. So I need the pasuk once again legufe for itself to tell me placing of the fire on the altar needs to be done by a kohen. and hence the pasuk is not available for inferring from it concerning hefshet v'nituach. So I don't have a source yet that Hefshet v'nituach is kosher bazar. Elo mehocha, rather, from the following. The diamond, as we mentioned earlier, introduces a new attempt to bring a source that Hefshet v'nituach is kosher bazar. So we read, Elo mehocha, v'orchu b'nei Aaron ha-koyanim es ha-nesochim es ha-roish v'sapoder. This is Pasuk Ches, describes the Kohanim setting up the limbs. And it mentions the Nesachim are the different dismembered limbs, the head and the Poder and the Suet. Michti, Mikabolo v'Eilech Mitzvahs Kahuna. We know, as we said earlier, that from the receipt of blood onwards, a Kohen is required. This, the setting up of the limbs, is obviously after the receipt of the blood. The orchu lomali. Why in this posuk does it have to spell out that kohanim are involved with this? It's obvious. So it must be then, limu tehefshet v'nituach, to say, kohanim set up the limbs. They do not have to be the ones for skinning and dismembering. As you can see, we have now a bracketed section. Of course, you can see the triangle, which immediately indicates a challenge, a question on what we just said. The explanation of why we have this bracketed is on the side as a starred comment. Tam hasograyim. The reason for these is Emo Zu. The suggested question here is Nidches Besoif HaSograyim. It's rejected. In other words, this particular question is rejected by the end of the bracketed section. V'hagemora choyzeres le'oisei nekuda shemiyad lefnei asugrayim. The Gemara will be returning to the point we just learned, namely the point just before the the brackets. In other words, we'll be saying that the V'orchu Pasuk is there for inference to tell me Hefshif Nituach doesn't need a Kayin. Now, and this structure is Benigud L'Shar HaKushios HaMesumonos B'Triangle. This is to the say contrary of the in contrast with the previous triangled questions that Sheviu Es HaGemara L'Tshuvos Chadoshos. The previous triangles led the Gemara to a new source. If you notice the structure here, this triangle, by the end of the brackets, there's no new diamond. In fact, right after the bracketed section, you see Ve'ema Hochi Nami Legufei, where the question is, who says that the Orchu is really here to exclude Hefshit V'Nituach, namely that it doesn't require a Koyen? Maybe I need the Pasuk for Legufei, and we'll see more about this when we go through the Gemara. So that having been said, we pick up with the bracketed section. We just said, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but it's important to be able to keep track of where we're holding at each point. We were looking for a source that Hefshif V'Nituach need not be done specifically by a Kayin. And the suggestion was from the seeming redundancy of mentioning B'nei Aaron in the context of the Orchu B'nei Aaron, Akenes and Nesachim, because that anyway is after Kabbalah, after receipt of the blood, which must be done by Kohanim. So why does the Torah mention the Orchu B'nei Aaron in the context of setting up of the limbs of the sacrifice? The answer is, it's there to tell me setting up of the limbs requires Kuna, but not Hefshit V'Nituach. It's there for the inference. The Gemara asks, V'eimo lim uti sidur shnei gzirei etzim. Maybe that the Orchu setting up the limbs needs Kuna, but the placing of the two boards of wood on the Mizbech don't require Kuna. Maybe that which doesn't require Kuna is the sidur shnei gzirei etzim. And here we have an internal brackets. And the reason for this is that we want to keep a smooth flow of the reading. The Gemara right after the bracket says lo salka daitoch, means that the suggestion of limute shnei gzirei etzim, don't even think that. That's lo salka daitoch. Don't think that shnei gzirei etzim doesn't require kahuna. And why shouldn't I think that? Yom amor v'kriv akein es akol. V'hiktir hamizbecha. Zu halachas Yevarim lekevesh. And we learn from that. Halachas Yevarim lekevesh hu de bayakuna. Halachas Eitzim lo bayakuna. Hasidu shnei gzirei etzim bayakuna. That from all of these different inferences, which we'll go over again a little more slowly, but from all these different inferences, you see clearly that sidur shnei gzirei, the placing of the two boards on the fireplace, must be done by the Kohanim. So v'orchu lomali. So what is v'orchu b'nei Aaron akoyanim esanesochim? What is that available for? What do I need that pasuk for? Limute hefshif v'nituach. It is as we suggested. So you see, we've reached the end of the bracketed section, and the original point before the brackets remains intact. Look at the double underlining. We're back to where we began. In other words, the aimal. Is simply rejected. Let's go back now to the beginning of the bracketed session, because we skipped an internal brackets. The Gemara is saying, who says that the Orch B'nei Aaron, the setting up of the limb posuk, which mentions Aaron and B'nei Aaron, meaning Kehanim, who says that it is there to Memayet Hefshif V'Nituach, allowing Hefshif to be done by Azar. We're again from the beginning of the brackets. V'eimo lemute sidur shnei gzirei etzim. Maybe we're coming to say that sidur shnei gzirei etzim does not need to be done by Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Mistabra divcha dekavosei memayet. It must be that we're coming to exclude something that's related to the animal. The dibcha is the zevach. The zevach is the animal itself, the slaughtered animal. So that regarding the limbs of the animal must be set up by kohanim, but the skinning and dismembering of the animal doesn't need to be done by kohanim. So that the ema of shnei gzeirtzim is not likely. Well, adarabo, I say to the contrary. Sidur the kavose mimayit. Sidur means the setting up of things. The pasuk speaks about the setting up of the limbs of the korban must be done by kohanim. The setting up of the two boards on the fire does not need to be done by kohanim. So maybe the pasuk really is lemayit kahuna regarding shnei gzeirtzim and not hefshef nituach. Lo salka daitach. Now you can't think that. You can't think like the Amor suggested that kohanim are not necessary for shnei gzeirtzim. The Omamar. The pasuk says v'hikriv hakohen es hakol v'hiktir hamizbecha. Zu halacha sevoram lekevish. The carrying of the limbs to the ramp leading up to the altar is what this pasuk is referring to. And what does the pasuk say? A kohen must do that. And we learn from here, Hoylocha Seforam Lekevesh Hudabaya Kuhuna, the carrying of the limbs of the animal to the ramp require kuhuna, Hoylochas Eitzim Lo Baya Kuhuna. For the carrying of the wood to the Mizbeach, that does not require a kohen. A non-kohen can serve as a wood transporter. However, we infer, Ha sidur shnei gzirei etzim. However, the setting up of the boards on the fireplace, the two special gzirei etzim, the two boards that the Torah demands to be placed on the fireplace, that must be done by a kohen. So you can't say that the pasuk before pasuk ches of the Orchu b'nei Aaron kohenim and nesachim is coming to exclude the need of kahuna for shnei gzirei etzim. The Aruch Lamali, so what is it needed for? What does the kohen reference in the V'orchu pasuk ches come to do? Limute hefshet v'nituach. It comes to exclude hefshet v'nituach from the need of having a kohen. The Gemara says, V'ema hochi nami lugufei. Why not say that this pasuk itself, namely the pasuk of setting up of the limbs, is needed to tell me that a kohen must be the one to do that? After all, we saw a svara before, being that since it's not the ikur kapara, since the basic atonement is not achieved through setting up of the limbs, the basic atonement is achieved through the sprinkling of the blood. So I would have had a havamina that, just like we spoke before about the nesinas eish on the mizbeach, maybe the same thing would apply to the setting up of the limbs. And therefore, I need the pasuk to tell me that a kohen is needed for setting up of the limbs. And it's not here to serve as an inference resulting in a source that hefshef v'nituach doesn't require kahuna. Ela. So we try again. In the diamond indicates a new attempt to find a source. Pasuk Tes says v'hiktir hakohen es hakol. Again, there's a reference to a kohen. Lemai osa. What do I need the reference of kohen in this pasuk for? Limute hefshet v'nituach. That haptorah, the burning of the limbs, requires a kohen, and not the hefshet v'nituach. The pasuk says, "V'hikriv hakohen es hakol mizbecha, zu hoylochas evorim lekevesh." It's the carrying of the limbs to the ramp. Hoylochas evorim lekevesh udabaya kuhuna. The carrying of the limbs of the animal to the ramp require kuhuna. Hoylochas eitzim lo baya kuhuna. The carrying of the wood to the mizbeach does not require kuhuna. Ha sidur shnei gzir eitzim baya kuhuna. However, the setting up of the two logs or the two boards on the fireplace does require kahuna. V'nosnu ligufei. We have a reference to this much earlier in our shiur. The nosnu, we had the pasuk saying that the nosnu bnei Aaron akayin eish al mizbeach. So we said before that that is legufei. I need to know that kohanim do that, and not to think that since it's not ma'akev kapora, since it's not binding regarding atonement, so maybe we can compromise the issue of needing kohanim. The orchu shnayim. Now Rashi points out that once I need, or once the pasuk reveals the need for kohanim regarding the putting of the fire on the mizbeach, so by the setting up of the limbs, I don't need to tell you that kohanim are needed for that. Because we already developed the svora that something that's not ma'akev kapora can still require kahuna. If we look in the Rashi, across from here, l'mute hefshid v'nituach u'kehuna de'venosnu, the reference of kahuna in the pasuk dealing with the fire, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron akoyin esh, that in the kuna in that pasuk legufei is needed, as we said kidam rinon, as we said earlier, dolo tema, don't think kevan dolo makfa kapora loted by kuna, since the placing of the fire is not something that's binding with regard to atonement, so maybe we can compromise the need for having a koyin. Umi de goli bo de baya kahuna. Once the Torah reveals that even though it's not ma'akev kapora, I still do need a kohen. Sulo itzrich madam michtav kahuna baruchas nesachim. I don't need to tell you again kohanim by the setting up of the limbs. The afagav de lo ma'akva, even though it's something that is not ma'akev kapora. The al korchich limute kasve. Therefore, it is there for miut purposes. As we said, to exclude something else as requiring kohanim. We continue now in the Gemara. The orchu shnayim. The word the orchu indicates is a plural expression, so it means two. Bnei Aaron shnayim. That's also in the plural. Hakoyanim is a word in the plural, equals shnayim. Lomadnu letle shiton shisha. From this, we learn that you need to have six kohanim for offering the sheep ola offering. The meat will require five, and the innards will require a sixth kohen. Omar Rav Hamnuna. Kashio le Rebbe Elazar hi. The following is a point of difficulty for Rebbe Elazar. And if the Ben Habokar Ksiv, the pasuk that we just made reference to, the Orchu Bnei Aaron Akoyanim, is a pasuk found in the section of the Torah dealing with a ben bokor, the cow offering. Uben bokor, uben habokor esrim v'arbo boy. The offering of the cow necessitates the involvement of 24 kohanim. So how can you take this pasuk of Yorchu ben Aaron akohanim and apply it to the sheep offering when you're dealing with a pasuk ches, which is in the context of a ben bokor and not a sheep, not a tle. V'nicha le, and an answer was given. In other words, after Rebbe Elazar raised the question, how can a pasuk dealing with a ben bokor lead to six kohanim and say that it's referring to a sheep offering when it's not in the context of a sheep offering. V'nichole, and then an answer was given. Again, there's a quote from the Pasuk Ches. And it says there, Al ho'etzim, asher al ho'esh, asher al ha'mizbeach. Ezu davar, shenemar bo etzim eshu mizbeach. What is it concerning which the Pasuk needs to talk about the wood, the fire, and the mizbeach? We're at the top of Amud Beis. Heve Omer Zetle. This is a reference to the Tomid Shel Shachar, the morning daily Ola offering, which was a sheep. So from the fact that this is what we're seeing here is a magnificent illustration of Torah Shebal Peh at its best. Here you have a Pasuk, namely Perek Aleph of Vayikra, Pasuk Ches, in the middle of a section dealing with a cow offering, a ben bokar. And it says in Pasuk Ches, and we're just being a bit repetitious here, but it says, V'orchu b'nei Aaron ha'kunim es ha'nesochim, es ha'roish v'sapodar, alo eitzim, asher alo eish, asher alo mizbeach. Why does the Pasuk make reference to the setting up of these limbs on the wood that's on the fire that's on the mizbeach? The reference to each one of these things points a finger in one direction. Namely, that we're dealing with that sacrifice concerning which the Torah makes reference to wood and fire and the Mizbeach. And that is in the context of the Tomid Shel Shachar, which is a sheep offering. We can take a look at Rashi together here at the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. V'nicholei Hoder Mishani Le, then it was answered. Rebbe Lozer's question was answered. How can Pasuk Ches teach me six Kohanim for a Tle when the context is a Ben Bokar? So they answered him, Al Ho'etzim Asher Al Ho'esh Kro Yaseirahu. That is an extra Pasuk. Dichtiv, it says in Vayikra Aleph, in Pasuk Zayin, V'nosnu Eish V'orchu Eitzim. It makes reference to the Eish and Eitzim already in Pasuk Zayin. The Orchu Nesachim Lomalisu in the Pasuk that deals with the setting up of the limbs, Pasuk Ches, why do I have to continue again? Lomalisu Alho Eitzim Asher Alho Eish. There in Pasuk Ches, an absolute seeming redundancy. So, Torah Shebal Peh comes to the rescue. L'midrash Bey to expound upon it, Dahani Shisha Kehanim Hutzuch L'Dover Shnei Marbo, that six Kehanim are necessary for that concerning which it says Eish Ve'etzim Mizbeach Ve'ezu Dover Shizkakti Lochem Marocha L'Sadir Eitz Ve'etzim Mizbeach B'Shvilo. And what is it that I, the Almighty, says has required the setting up of wood and fire on the Mizbeach for it? Where is there a specific and open reference to the need for setting up wood and fire? So, as the Gemara said, that's in the context of the Tomid Shel Shachar. And Rashi goes through all of that information at the top of Amud Beis. We continue in the Gemara with a new discussion. We have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, and an indication that this goes to Chof Ches Omed Aleph. Psul Zar Besidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. That we're going to speak about that which we've already made reference to, that we said we need a Kohen for the setting up of the two boards on the fireplace. A non-Kohen, hence, will be unfit for doing that. And if he does, so he is Chayav Misa. You'll see, if you just scan ahead on this Daf Gemara, you see a lot of symbols are used. And the use of these symbols continues till Chof Ches Omed Aleph. So we just want to note that one of the major benefits in using so many symbols, we will then show the similarity and structure between what we'll see in the Gemara as two Lishonos. There are two versions of what we will see as Rebbe Zeira's question. So in order to get a sense of balance or repetitive structure, we use these symbols. So the first marking that that one is struck by is a diamond, and the diamond will be, it will be stages in trying to understand what Rabbi Yochanan says. The bow tie will highlight Shnei Lishonos B'Rebbe Zeira. You can see on the fourth line from the top, after Rabbi Yochanan says what he does, there will be a challenge by Rabbi Zeira. And second line from the bottom, there's a squiggle underlined expression, as an abbreviated Aleph Dalet, V'ikod the Amri. And a second version of how Rabbi Zeira presents his question. So that's that gives you a sense of the superstructure of the Gemara. A house form will appear, where you see the expression in the house, Elo ki itmar hochi itmar, an attempt to, let's say, redirect Rabbi Yochanan's comment, and that will be challenged. And you'll have an inverted house that demonstrates that. The triangle will appear, and as we said earlier, this triangle is here to create a sense of balance in structure. So you see a triangle over here in the middle of this Amid, and on Chof Ches Amid Aleph, following the inverted house that we see there, you'll see also a triangle which will introduce a question. Each one introduces a question. Again, here it's a little difficult to give a detailed introduction because that's the job of the Gemara itself, to spell out all of the details. However, with the markings, you can get a sense of balance in the structure of the Gemara. So as we said, the basic topic involves the Tzar being unfit to set up the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. We start at the top of Chof Zayin Mabez, Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan. Tzar Shesider Samarocha, Chayov. A Tzar, a non-Kohen that sets up the fireplace, is, if he does so, he will be Chayev Misa Bidei Shomayim. We should point out that we made reference to the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. Those are the two boards. They are in addition to the Marocha, the fireplace, but at this point we're talking in general about the setting up of the basic fireplace of the Mizbeach, and later on we'll introduce the issue of the additional two boards. Those are additional specific wood that is added after the fireplace has been set up. So Rabbi Yochanan at this point says that a Tzar that sets up the fireplace is Chayev Misa. Ketzad hu oseh. So what should he do? And now we're going to take the Gemara literally. The Gemara will ask on this momentarily, but literally, Ketzad hu oseh means what should the Tzar do? Porko, he should undo what he set up. V'chozer v'sojer, and set it up again. The Gemara says, well, Maya Hanile, of what benefit is that? Once you say the Tzar shouldn't do it, but if he does it a second time, that's any better? Ela porko zar v'sudra kain. What Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is that if a Tzar does set it up, so he should undo it and have a Kohen set it up. Maskif lo Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira attacks Rabbi Yochanan's din. And again, note that the second line from the bottom, there is going to be a second version of how Rabbi Zeira attacks Rabbi Yochanan's din. So maskif lo Rabbi Zeira, v'chi yesh lecha avoido shikshera balayla upsula bazar, is there an activity like setting up the fireplace, which you can do at night? And being that it's a nighttime activity, would it be unfit if done by a zar? You notice that we have a bracketed section, and lasts a couple of lines. Use your bracket length indicator to see how long this skip is. But if you skip, you'll notice that this challenge of Rabbi Zera, that something that's done at night should be kosher if it's done by a zar, that challenge stands. So, skipping the brackets, Eloki Itmar Hochi Itmar, here we introduce the second stage in understanding Rabbi Yochanan, hence you see a Roman number 2, Amar Vasim Rabbi Yochanan, Zar Shesider Shnei Gzirei Eitzim Chayav, Hoyl V'Avoidas Yom Hi. Setting up of the two boards after the fireplace has been set up, that is what a zar would be chayav misa for, since it's a daytime activity, and we dash it on a daytime, avodas yom. Now, let's go back over the Gemara. We skip the bracketed section, but Rabbi Zera raises a question. How can you say that a zar that sets up the ma'arocha is chayav misa when Rabbi Zera's question is when it's something that can be done at night, and a nighttime activity has much less significance, if you will, and being that it's acceptable to be done at night, a zar should not be chayav misa if he does it. The Gemara asks, really? Just because it's a nighttime thing, that's reason for being so lenient. The loy v'hare, and we have the double underlining introducing, we'll say, attempted challenges. We put it on the side of our Gemara. You know, we've written this Yonis Lahafrich Es Divrei Rabbi Zera. We're going to try to challenge that which Rabbi Zera claimed. He claimed that if something is done at night, then it's a zar would not be chayav misa. Well, v'hare evarim uvdorim. What about the burning of the limbs and innards of daytime sacrifices that can be done at night? The burning of the limbs. Now, sacrifice, its slaughtering and blood sprinkling is done only by day. But the burning of the limbs can be done at night. And if a zar does it, he'll be chayav. It'll be chayav misa. The Gemara says that's not a kasha. Soif avoda diyamomahi. The burning of the limbs is the end of the daytime activity. That's why the zar is unfit for it, because it's the continuation of that which was started during the day. Question: Varei trumas hadeshen. Well, what about Trumas HaDeshen that a zar cannot do? And Rashi points out, it says kahuna by that. And Trumas HaDeshen was done, let's say, at pre-dawn hours of the day. So it's a nighttime thing, it's a nighttime activity, and a zar is unfit. The Gemara says, Tchilas Avoda Diyamoma Hi. The Trumas HaDeshen really represents the beginning of the daytime activity, and that's why it's possible bizarre. It's not a pure nighttime activity. Just like we said before, the Evarim Uvdorim were the end of the daytime, this is the beginning of the daytime. Since it has a daytime association, a zar is unfit, as opposed to the setting up of the Ma'arocha. And how do I know that the Trumas HaDeshen is considered Tchilas Avodah Diyamomah? Yom Rav Asi, Yom Rav Yochanan, Kidei Shiodov L'Trumas HaDeshen, person who washed his hands and feet for the purpose of doing the Trumas HaDeshen, that's the removal of a pan of ash from the Mizbeach altar fireplace and being placed on the floor of the Azorah next to the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, that's Trumas HaDeshen. Rabbi Yochanan says that a kohen who sanctified his hands and feet through washing them from the water of the kior is lemochar eino tzorach likadesh. He doesn't have to wash his hands for continued avoda later in the day. Shikvar kidesh mitchilas avoda. He's already done it from the beginning of the daytime avoda. Well, what do we see? So in the meantime, Rabbi Zeira's objection stands. Something that's purely nighttime related, how can you say that that would be unfit if done by a zar? So v'elo kasha. So that reinstates the question that Rabbi Zeira asked on Rabbi Yochanan. Elo ki itmar hochi itmar. Rather, thusly said Rabbi Yochanan. Here is our Roman number 2, the second presentation, second version of Rabbi Yochanan. What does he say? Zar shesider shnei gzirei eitzim chayov. Not the marocha, but which is the basic fireplace, but the shnei gzirei eitzim. If a zar sets up the shnei gzirei eitzim, he is chayov misa hoyo vavoidas yomi, because it is a daytime activity. Maskif lo rova elo me'ato timoi pious. If the setting up of the shnei gzirei eitzim is a daytime activity, and a zar who would do it would be puzzled, so it should require a special counting and choosing pious, which we've discussed this in the last number of dapim, how the different daytime activities, in order to determine the kohen or the kohanim that will do them, a pious ceremony or a pious procedure is needed to count, and through counting and choosing the kohen. We're not going to get into all the details of pious again, but it should require a separate pious. So Rava asks this question, right? Unfortunately, in asking this question, he forgot a Tanaic source. Ishtamitze, it escaped him. Hadisanya, that which is taught. Misha zocha betrumas adeshen, zocha besidur ma'arocha, ubesidur shnei gzirei eitzim. That as a result of the pious for the trumas adeshen, in fact, through that, he would be the one to do the shnei gzirei eitzim. So, Rava's question was, shouldn't shnei gzirei eitzim require pious? Well, it does. It has the pious. The one who's chosen for trumas adeshen, he does the shnei gzirei eitzim. The Gemara asks, from this discussion, one would be led to a certain conclusion. Lameimra davoidas yoim baya pious avoidas lai lo baya pious. Is that so? That daytime activity requires pious, nighttime activity doesn't require pious. In other words, this is all of this would follow from what we just said. In other words, we said that the shnei gzirei eitzim is an avodas yom. And Rava says, well, if it's an avodas yom, it should require pious. So, yeah, that's right, it does. Because it's an avodas yom, it requires pious. Well, if that's the case, so avodas yom requires pious, avodas laila doesn't require pious. Is that really so? Varei evar muvdorim. What about the burning of the limbs? Now, the ones who are chosen to burn the limbs and the innards of korbanos, in fact, are chosen through pious. And burning of limbs can take place at night. Gemara says that's not an objection. Soif avodi momahi. As we said earlier, the burning of the Avorm of Dorim is simply the conclusion of the daytime activity. So being that it's coming on the heels of that which was done by day, so it requires pious, but a pure nighttime type activity wouldn't require pious. Question, Varei Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, which is done pre-dawn hours, it's done at night, so that does have pious. So the Gemara answers, as far as Trumas Hadeshen, you want to know why it has pious. It has pious because of a technicality, Mishum Maisa Shehoya, because of the incident that we've learned a number of dapim before, of the the misfortunes and calamities that happen as a result of what they were doing before the pious. If you recall, the racing up the ramp and falling off the ramp, and even a murder took place, without reviewing all of those Gemaras. And because, in order to prevent the different calamities from ever happening again, pious was instituted. So, Trumas Hadeshen, even if you classify it as a nighttime activity, nevertheless, don't use that as an example of nighttime thing requiring pious. The pious was instituted there because of a special contingency. The Gemara continues, Lameimra, are you suggesting the Avodas Yoim v'shezar chayav ole misa by a pious? We're suggesting in the meantime that if it's a daytime activity, and if a non-Kohen would do it, like we saw by Rabbi Yochanan's comment by the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, that kind of thing, a daytime, Zar Chayav Misa, that requires pious, by a pious. However, if we change one of the factors, Ein Zar Chayav La Misa, Lo by a pious. If a Zar were to do it and no Misa would happen, so then it wouldn't require pious. Well, is that really true? What about the slaughtering? The slaughtering of a korban is allowed to be done, can be done by a zar, and it, shechita, requires pious. The Gemara says, shiny shechita. Shechita is different. Detchilas avoda hi. It is the beginning of all of the sacrificial requirements and actions. So because it is the beginning, so it has a special status, and that's why it requires pious. Omer marzutro vitemo ravashi. Veho anan lo tnan hochi. But we have not learned like this, that sidur shnei gzirim is considered avodas yom. Now, if you just note, we have an arrow here to be aligned with the arrow on the upper part of the page. At that point, Rabbi Yochanan said that Zar Shesid Shnei Gzir Eitzim is Chayav Misa because it's a daytime activity. But as far as Sidur Shnei Gzir Eitzim, it doesn't appear to be a daytime activity from the following source. The Mishnah says, Omar Lehem HaMemune, Tzu Uru'u Im Higiyaz Man Shashchita. The Menemune is the appointed one, and he instructed to check out if we're talking about the end of the night, has the morning hour arrived? And he says, go and see im higiyaz man hashchita. Go and see if there's a if dawn has arrived. It's called Heir Mizrach, the lighting up of the east. We'll call it the dawn hour has arrived, in order to proceed with the slaughtering. Slaughtering cannot be done at night. It says in the Pasuk, B'yom Zivchachem. That Rashi quotes. So what do we see is on the mind of the authorities, that Zman Shechita has arrived. Daytime has arrived for Shechita. V'ilu Zman Shnei Gzirei Eitzim Lo Katani. There is no reference that we're concerned with daytime having arrived for the purpose of setting up the two boards on the Mizbeach. So, what does that show us? It shows us that setting up the boards on the Mizbeach can be done at night. The Gemara says, that's not so. In fact, we are interested in the Shnei Gzir Eitzim being done by day. However, Hach de les le takanta katoni, that which has no fixing. In other words, shechita, if you mess up on the shechita and do the shechita at night, you blew it. You can't bring the animal back to life and shecht it again. So that, for something like that, we must be certain that daybreak has arrived. However, hach, the shnei gzirim, the is lo takanta, it can be repaired. If it happened to have been done at night, mistakenly. So, lo katani, therefore it's not featured in the source that deals with the need for certainty regarding daytime. But bottom line, shnei gzir eitzim must be done by day, by the time that's classified as daytime. And hence, if a zar does it, as Rabbi Yochanan said, that would result in a chiyuv misa. Ve'ika di amri, maskif lo Rabbi Zera. So what we have to do, by way of structure, is we would go back to where the Aleph Botai is, and replace the above bowtie with what we're going to see here. In other words, we're coming on the heels of that which Rabbi Yochanan had said originally. What did he say originally? That a zar shesidus amarocha is chayav. The zar that sets up the fireplace, the basic fireplace, is chayav. Chayav misa. So here Rabbi Zera asks, v'chi yesh l'cho avoido sheyesh achru avoido psula bazar. Is there an example of something that has other activities following it? And it would be, when it says here, by the way, psula bazar, Rashi adds very importantly, l'ischayev misa. That would result in the zar being chayev misa. So is there anything like that? And when you talk about the setting up of the fireplace, well, following the setting up of the fireplace, there is the setting up of the Shnei Gzireitz, and that follows the setting up of the fireplace. So, since the setting up of the Marocha, the fireplace itself, is an Avoda Shiyesh Achre Avoda, it's not a final stage. How can you say that a Zar is Chayav Misa? Zar is only Chayav Misa for something that would represent a final stage. Don't confuse this with saying that if it's not a final stage, then a Zar would be allowed to do it. All we're saying is that if it's not a final stage, so he won't be Chayav Misa. Still, he's prevented from doing it. So Rabbi Yochanan mentioned that setting up the Marocha would result in a Zar being Chayav Misa, guilty of death at the hands of heaven. Rabbi Zera is asking, how could that be? Following the setting up of the fireplace, there is another activity, namely the setting up of the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, which follows. So, Ella, we turn now to Omid, to Chof Ches Omid Aleph. There is a parenthesis section, and this is as a result of the Vilna Goyin, the Groz commentary, so we're not going to read this. And he claims that Rashi also is, as Rashi says, we're not goreis this. Elo iitmar, we're picking up with the house on the fifth line from the top. Elo iitmar hochi itmar omer vasi omer Yochanan. And remember we said how we're using these markings to show the balance. If you go back to the first house marking back on Chav Zayin Beis, it's, you'll see here the same thing. Elo iitmar hochi itmar omer vasi omer Yochanan. Zar shesider shnei gzirei eitzim chayov. A zar who sets up the two boards is chayov misa. Hoyel v'avoida tomohi. In the spirit of the comment Rabbi Zera made in the most recent bowtie, that a zar is chayov misa only for last stage activities, final stage activities. So in accordance with that, the Rabbi Yochanan is restated. If a zar sets up the Shnei Gzir Eitzim, not the Marocha, Shnei Gzir Eitzim, so he'll be Chayav Misa, because Ha'ol V'Avoda Toma, it's a final stage activity. And you can rest assured now that the structure of the Gemara is very similar to that which we saw before, questions and responses like we saw earlier. Maskif lo Rova, Ela Me'ato, Tiboy Pius. If a zar is Chayav for Shnei Gzir Eitzim, because it's Avoda Tomah, so Shnei Gzir Eitzim should require pious. So the Gemara responds, just like we saw on the first on Omid Beis, we saw below by a pious. What in asking in Rava's question, you're implying that Shnei Gzirim doesn't have a pious, but it does. V'ha Tanya, we have learned Misha Zocha B'Trumas Adeshen, Yizkeh b'sidur shnei zirei esim. So he was zoche through the pious for Trumas HaDeshen, he is the one to set up the shnei zirei esim. So what's Rava's question? The Gemara says, Hochi ko'omar. Rava's question is, Yefaisu lo bifnei atzma. Let the shnei zirei esim have a separate pious. Elo kidamrinon. Well, as far as that suggestion is concerned, we have spoken about this quite a bit earlier, that there was a need for adding to the Trumas HaDeshen activity additional things like Shnei Zir Eitzim, so as to, we'll say, add significance and importance to the Trumas HaDeshen, so as to motivate Kehanim to come for pious for the Trumas HaDeshen. That particular discussion we had seen earlier back on that Chof Beis Omen Aleph, the first staff of this perek. The Gemara asks, again, the triangle is here to show the similarity in structure as we had back on Chof Zayin Omen Beis. Lameimra, are you suggesting the Avodah Toma v'zacha v'misa by a pious, that if it's a final stage activity and it's something concerning which the zar would be chayev misa, that's what requires pious. That is what we would imply from Rabbi Yochanan's comment and the subsequent question of Rava and the response. Putting all the information together, it comes out. If it's an avodah toma, then and the zar is chayev misa, that's what requires pious, implying ein zar chayev misa lo by a pious. That if a zar wouldn't be chayev misa for it, so it wouldn't have pious varei shchita. But we know that shchita, a zar can do that, and yet it does have pious. Shiny shchita, shchita is different. As we saw in the previous Lashon, the Tchilas Avoda Diamoma Hi. It requires pious because of its significance insofar it's the beginning of the daytime activity. So it has a special, we'll say it has a special status. But otherwise, in general, other kinds of Avodas that don't have that particular status, if a Zar is not Chayav Misa, so it wouldn't generate the need for pious. And here we have a section that, once again, the gra is not gores, so we skip the parentheses section. Omar Marzutra Vitemo Ravashi Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a support that the Sidur Shnei Gzir Eitzim is an Avoda Toma, like Rabbi Yochanan, and not like other Amoroim, like Rav and Levi, that don't count it, the Shnei Gzirim, as something that is an Avoda Toma, because they hold that following the Shnei Gzir Eitzim, there is the setting up of the limbs. That's an approach taken by Rav and Levi. These are deos that we've seen in previous Dapim of Gemara. But here we have a Tanaic source supporting the approach taken by Rabbi Yochanan. And let's see now the Gemara. Afananami tinir omar lehem amemuna tsu'uru im higia zman hashchita. A memuna, the appointed one, announced that we want to establish that daybreak has arrived for the purpose of knowing if it's the time to do shchita. V'ilu zman sidur shnei gzir eitzim lo katani. However, it doesn't seem to be that the sidur shnei gzir eitzim is of concern, indicating that it's something that could be done at night. So the Gemara responds and says that's not an indication that it's something that can be done at night, but rather hach de les lo takanto kotoni, hach de is lo takanto lo kotoni. Shchita is something that has no takonot. If you mess up, you do it at night, so you've ruined it. You don't have any recourse. However, sidur shnei gzir eitzim, even if it did come out that you did it at night, you can undo it and reassemble or set up anew the Shnei Gezeirasim during the day. Now let us take a look at the Rashi. Ve'ilu zman Shnei Gezeirim lo katani alma avodas lailahi. By the source indicating that we're interested only in knowing if dawn has arrived for Shechita, it would have led us to believe that the Shnei Gezeira Eitzim, which we're not so concerned about it being day, it could be done at night. Vehu gemar sidur marocha. And that would represent the end of the setting up of the basic fireplace, that the completion of setting up the fireplace, which was done at night, the last stage would be the Shnei Gezeira Eitzim. The Sidur Hoivorim Shehu Avodas Yoim, the setting up of the limbs on the Mizbeach, which was a daytime activity, Trilas Avoda Acherasi, it's something else. It's the beginning of a new thing. Velo Gemar Sidur Hamarochi. It's not the completion of the setting up of the fireplace. So we see from here, like Rabbi Yochanan claimed, that the Zar Shesider Shnei Gezeira Eitzim is Chayav because it's an Avoda Toma. It's a last stage thing. And how do I, once again, we're being a little repetitious here, but how do we see from this that it's a last stage thing? Because, as is implied from the Omer Lehem HaMumuna, daytime was of interest for us only regarding the Shechita, indicating that the Shnei Gezeira Eitzim could be done at night. And as such, it simply represents the end of the Sidur HaMarocha, which is something done at night, showing us that the Shnei Gezeira Eitzim is an Avodah Toma. However, the Gemara rejects this as a proof. It rejects what Rav Ashi, Marzutri, Tam Rav Ashi, was trying to do, and saying that the Mimuna here, trying to ascertain that it's daytime for Shechita, wasn't necessarily to the exclusion of Shnei Gezeira Eitzim. Shnei Gezeira Eitzim might also be a daytime thing, and not necessarily the end of the Sidur HaMarocha, which was something that was done at night. So, at the end of this particular sukkah, we can't say that we necessarily have proof to Rabbi Yochanan from the source, but Rabbi Yochanan said what he did anyway. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.